This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, it is a 31 March in the year of our Lord 2023. We're in it now, as we've been saying, the beginning phases of the Third World War, and that war is as much at home as it is abroad. The book is called The Indictment. The audience doesn't need me to say that I love books and I love people that write books, and I think reading of books is something that makes you only more competitive in today's world, because people just, they're on their screens, they're reading these short snippets. To get into a book, to actually understand it, follow it through, helps you learn how to think as much as just getting the content and the information. So we've been working with the team at Skyhorse to launch our own imprint for a while, War Room Books. And we want books that leave a mark, that have an impact. Frank Gaffney, the team at Committee on the Present Danger. And the reason, Frank, I love the idea, one of the reasons that we did this, we saw these indictments that are out there for President Trump. The indictments of Trump are not about Trump. The indictments of Trump are about you, about MAGA, about the America First movement. And right now, this war with the Chinese Communist Party, as I've said for years, is the central existential threat to the United States in combination with their allies. We have a fifth column here in this country. And yep. Frank Gaffney and the team of experts, which is over 100 at the Committee on the Present Danger, the greatest corpus we have of anti-CCP fighters is around the Committee on the Present Danger. And that's the book that's out, The Indictment. And it's a real indictment. When you read this and compare it to what they're going after Trump's about, you'll understand the difference in scale that we're talking about. We are at war. We are at war. And we're at war with traitors in our country. And that's what they are. They are traitors. Traitors in this country that are supporting the godless, atheistic Marxist in the transnational criminal organization. And that transnational criminal organization is on a roll right now with all their weaknesses, with everything they've got demographically, financially, politically, with Lao Beijing. They are on a roll with elites throughout the world. Frank Gaffney, give me a summary of The Indictment and why it is must reading today to compare and contrast what is going to be unsealed on Tuesday in New York, and also what's in Fulton County, what's in this bogus grand jury in Washington, D.C., and compare it to a true indictment of crimes against the United States, her citizens, crimes against Lao Beijing, the Chinese people, and humanity, sir.
Steve, among the many favorite Mark Twain-isms was his comment that there's a difference between lightning and lightning bugs. And what's going on in New York and in these other inquisitions is lightning bugs compared to the lightning of what the Chinese Communist Party has been doing. And it's been for decades. I mean, this has been ongoing. We have let it pass in no small measure because of their success in capturing our elites, people that we have entrusted with maintaining the national security of the United States. And yes, I don't think it's too strong a term to talk about treason. But a central purpose of this book, Steve, as I mentioned earlier, is to indict the Chinese Communist Party, to delegitimate, as Ronald Reagan did the Soviet Communist Party in its day, the CCP, as a transnational criminal organization, not only because it opens up opportunities to do things about them. The court of public opinion is, of course, where we're going to prosecute this first, but it does open up opportunities elsewhere as well, especially if we could get an official designation that they are a TCO, as it's called. But here's the other place where this can really apply. Evidently, and we documented this in a whole series of these webinars over the past few months, people can subscribe to them at presentdangerchina.org. I strongly encourage you to do so. The reality is most of these elites that have been captured, one way or the other, money mostly, I suppose, in some cases ideological affinity, sex traps, honeypots, and so on. Whatever it's taken, they've used them. And apparently betraying your country is no longer considered to be unacceptable on the part of people in leadership, in government and in these other areas, notably our financial sector. And many of the names that we name, Steve, are in the financial sector because, as I'm fond of pointing out here, they're taking your money and they're giving it to the Chinese Communist Party. And especially if there is a shooting war, you're not going to get it back. But here's the point. If what we're telling Americans who have been aiding and abetting our enemy is, you're now going to be eligible for being prosecuted as accomplices to criminal activity, that can change the calculation, at least for their corporations, if not for them as individuals. That has to be done, Steve. It has to be done now, because we're in the red zone. This is not a matter of being able to just continue to pretend this isn't a problem or pretend that we're going to take care of it later. We have a select committee chaired by a bright young guy by the name of Mike Gallagher, who I think definitely gets we need to follow the money, we need to hold the captured elites accountable, and we need to take a bunch of other corrective actions, including among them the ones that we've identified in the indictment. And the subtitle of it is important: prosecuting the Chinese Communist Party and friends for crimes against America, China, and the world. And thank you for publishing it.
No, no, no. It's a we wanted to be our first book in War Room Books, and honored to have this as the first. Also, the Committee on the Present Danger China has just done such extraordinary work, including Mo, Captain Bannon, and Grace. Let's get up the new webinar. The new webinar will be it was yesterday live, but it'll be up here shortly. Peter Schweitzer, Miranda Devine of the New York Post. You've got Trevor Loudon, the greatest communist hunter we have here in this country. And of course, Brian Kennedy, one of the smartest guys in the country. Frank, once again, give your coordinates that people can get to. You can order the book. Where can we pre-order the book today, Frank?
You can reserve a copy. Amazon is not probably going to have a live link to pre-order it until Tuesday, but you can reserve a copy today at theindictmentbook.com. My other sources are securefreedom.org, presentdangerchina.org, and securingamerica.tv, the program that we have on this network, Real America's Voice, which I'm very proud as well. Thank you, Steve.
Real America's Voice, the fighters. Thank you, Frank Gaffney. Appreciate it.
God bless you.
The book's incredible, so we're going to make sure everybody gets access to this. Steve Cortez, was it 2 years ago, brother, that you wrote the piece, The End of King Dollar? Was it 2 years ago on that, sir?
You know, it was just over a year ago. As a matter of fact, it was last March of 2022 that I put that up, Biden Dethrones King Dollar. And I've certainly been talking about it for, you know, even more than that, but that's when I published that actual article, which went very viral. And I was warning people that at that point, Joe Biden, who had only been in office for slightly more than a year, was jeopardizing an incredible inheritance that was literally built up over a century. The dollar has been the reserve currency for the entire world. What does that mean, the reserve currency? And then there's the article from last March about Biden dethroning King Dollar. What it means to be the reserve currency is that all transactions of any consequence in the world, Steve, take place, even if the United States itself is not a party to those transactions, they take place in United States dollars, whether it's oil tankers being shipped all over the world or bank transactions or even major drug deals. The currency of choice for everyone, both legitimate and illegitimate actors, is the United States dollar. And that is true of whatever the reserve currency is for the world. Previous to the dollar, it was the British pound, hence the phrase, sound as a pound. Well, the dollar replaced the pound. And I fear that right now, and I started talking about it a couple of years ago, wrote about it 1 year ago, I fear that Joe Biden is squandering this incredible economic inheritance. And a lot of Americans may not realize how important it is to your life, because even if you don't follow global capital markets, even if you're not a world traveler, the value of the dollar versus the rest of the world matters enormously to you, mainly because the thirst for dollars, the appetite for dollars in the world, has been one of the reasons that the United States has been able to essentially get away with, previous to Joe Biden, get away with borrowing and spending far too much money, because the world so wanted dollars that it was willing to gobble up our treasuries at pretty low interest rates, at terms that were great to the United States as a borrowing country. Well, those terms have changed dramatically, and it's part of why interest rates are soaring. And this situation is accelerating, Steve, with recent moves, which I think we want to get into, particularly as it regards China. So China right now is taking the forefront of building an anti-American alliance. It's an alliance with a lot of national security ramifications for the United States, to be sure, but perhaps even greater economic ramifications in trying to build a global bloc that is rejecting United States hegemony in the world, rejecting our cultural imperialism, rejecting the constant interventionism of Joe Biden, particularly as it relates to Ukraine, and trying to create, and so far with some success, create an alternative financial system that is not dollar-based. Steve, this is incredibly consequential. Of all the mistakes, of all the created crises of Joe Biden, this is the one that perhaps will have the most lasting legacy if we don't course correct really quickly.
No, this is, and the course correction is not going to be easy. Make sure you go to birchgold.com/Bannon right now. We got the End of the Dollar Empire, the three-part series. You've got to understand money. When I was East Palestine talking to the citizens out there, they love this part of the program probably as much as anything, Steve, to understand this. They want to understand.
Yeah.
You've got to understand, particularly the third episode, I've got the debt trap. You understand right now the Republicans are blinking on putting forward a budget. We'll go into a lot more of that later. But birchgold.com/Bannon, you get all the free information from Birch Gold. You can get access to everything they want to talk about your retirement programs. Free information, immerse yourself, but get this three-part series and get up to speed on this. Steve, when you and I first started talking about this, people said, oh, no, this is decades away. It's a half a century right. away. The moves that they have made in the last 6 months is nothing short of breathtaking, sir.
Correct.
Do you agree?
No, it is. Listen, the CCP senses they are evil, but they're not dumb, okay? They sense the weakness. They sense the vulnerability here, and they are stepping into that gap and doing so aggressively. And you're right. It has been months and months of significant steps for Beijing at leading this international anti-American coalition. And the most recent step, which is the most consequential in my view too, happens to also be the most recent, is convincing Saudi Arabia and Iran, mortal enemies, the Crips and Bloods of the Mideast, the Persians and the Arabs who cannot get along, who have been effectively in a Cold War for decades, a Chinese brokered detente to bring Saudi Arabia and Iran together as part of this grander alliance. And regarding that alliance, if we can pull up chart four here, please, I want to read a quote from the Wall Street Journal. This is about what just happened this week regarding what China has brokered. The Saudi government approved partial membership in the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, a political and security bloc that includes China, Russia, and India. The article continues later, a marked pivot to the east. Steve, a marked pivot to the east. Now, I think that's actually understating what's going on, but even that quote is significant enough. I mean, think of two things going on here. Number one is that the Chinese actually, they don't even bother to give this organization sort of an internationalist name. No, it's Shanghai is the first name in the organization. So it is clear where this is being directed from. It is being directed by the CCP. And I think in many ways, Steve, what this new SCO really represents, it's sort of what the OECD used to be, okay, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which was a U.S.-led anti-Soviet Union economic organization, headquartered in Paris, but very much directed by the United States, dominated by Western countries to encourage trade and free market economics and democracies. That was the OECD, which for the most part was very successful for the West and for the United States. This is the CCP version now. This is the new OECD, yeah. Okay, except it's based on tyranny rather than based on the principles of Western values. And Biden has given them the opening to do this, Steve.
Okay, we're going to get into some of the economics happening here in the United States. We're going to take a short commercial break. Steve Cortez, Dave Walsh are going to join us. I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, the Financial Times, one of the two, has or Bloomberg, have a story that the BRICS now have a bigger GDP than the G7. The Chinese are evil. The CCP's evil, but they're not stupid. They know exactly what they're doing in putting this BRICS, the Global South Coalition, together against the United States. Short commercial break. Break. Back with Cortez.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Cortez, we have so many ticking time bombs over here in our financial system. This bank crisis is driven, partially it's driven, that there is a massive, massive crisis we have right now in commercial real estate. Steve Cortez, your thoughts and observations.
Guys, I don't hear anything.
Okay, we just lost Cortez? Yeah. Okay, well, let's reboot Cortez, and then we'll come back. Let's get Dave Walsh up, and we'll reboot Cortez. Dave, before I get Cortez back up here, walk me through these transactions that the Chinese have been doing, including this new one they've just done with the French to use the yuan. People have to understand, what they are doing is de-dollarizing the world's energy markets, and that is going to have a massive, massive impact on all of our lives. There were so many people that laughed at us when we first started talking about the end of the dollar empire. Oh, this is not going to happen. It's going to be decades, at least 30 or 40 years. It's happening right now. Let's go to Dave Walsh. We'll come back to Cortez. Dave, talk to me about what's happening, particularly this new French deal.
The French deal is 65,000 tons of LNG being imported in France by Total Energy. That's the French oil major in Europe of LNG in a transaction that China's involved in because it's now been denominated in yuan through the Shanghai Petroleum and Natural Gas Exchange. Now recognize, China produces no LNG. China receives all of its LNG from Australia, Qatar, the UAE, and Russia. Formerly, a great deal of it from the U.S. actually has stopped in the last year and a half or so, diminished a major importer. So they look like they've redirected a cargo from the UAE or Qatar to France, China, to kick off this yuan-based trade in natural gas with a French company. The French government has to support import approvals, such as is done here, of oil and gas by the Total Energies group. So they know about this, and they've egregiously supported this former dollarized transaction now occurring in yuan, while at the same time, you know, our country is providing essentially all of the support for this Ukraine effort. We're subsidizing our so-called allies, such as France, to be making transactions like this in yuan for LNG that we are otherwise mainly supporting Western Europe for during the last year and a half crisis. So it's rather shocking, but is endemic of this is moving forward.
Remember, UAE is supposed to be one of our allies. You've also got Iraq has announced they're going to do their new deal with the Chinese in yuan. You've got, as Steve Cortez said, the combination of the Bloods and the Crips, the Saudis and the Persians, are each doing 40-year output deals with the CCP in yuan. Brazil just announced on Tuesday that they're going to do all transactions with trade in between the CCP and Brazil in yuan. You've been in the energy markets a long time, and the petrodollar has been the basis of that. For a guy who's got experience over decades and decades, how shocking is it how quickly this has happened? I want to make the analogy between AI that we've talked about for a long time and warned about the dangers, and people just dismiss you and say, oh, no, this is nothing happening. On the front page of the FT today, the revered Financial Times, artificial intelligence, existential threat to humanity. That ain't the war room. That ain't Joe Allen. The artificial intelligence existential threat to humanity. This is the same thing we talked about the dollar, which Steve Cortez said that over a century. And look, there are a lot of responsibilities of being the prime reserve currency that, hey, maybe we don't want nowadays, but it's got to be a conscious, thoughtful proposition that you think through as a nation. That's not what's happening here. The Chinese Communist Party is putting a global block of the global South against the United States and, quote unquote, her allies. That's why the FT has today. The Chinese are trying to back down the Europeans. This huge meeting they're having, the Europeans are going there as supplicants, Macron and the president of the EU, and they're being told by the CCP to their face, hey, you can't put up any trade restrictions like Trump used to do. This is why they're coming after Trump. This is why they're coming after Trump. Dave Walsh, as somebody who's been in this business for decades, how shocking is it how quickly these major nations have gone, because it's risky to take the yuan. It's not a sure bet to take a very unstable currency that's propped up by a government where they just print the money, right, on very unsound financial footings. How shocking is it that the major output players in the world are doing these deals now away from petrodollars, sir?
Well, unfortunately, at this point, it's not that shocking. The existence of the petrodollar was founded on the firm belief that the U.S. is concurrently a major supplier of oil and gas products to world markets and a reliable supplier to world markets and a major consumer of them, therefore a major buyer of them. These governments in China, in the Middle East, in the kingdom specifically, have listened to government here for 10 of the last 14 years telling them we are sidestepping becoming a major consumer and or buyer of oil and gas products, and we intend to diminish our production of oil and gas products. Vis-a-vis Kerry's activities, the activities of this administration consistently in the last 2 years. So they're receiving our message, and they're coalescing around a group of nations who don't believe in this theory of man-caused global warming and diminished oil and gas, but recognize it's important to their industrial and military growth. China, Russia, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, Iraq, they're not on board with seeing us any longer as a validated consumer of these products, nor competitor provider of them, as the administration and the government here continues to fight and restrict production of oil and gas. So no, the petrodollar was based on our being a major player in these markets. We've decided, the government anyhow, has decided to withdraw from that position repeatedly, consistently, in all of its rhetoric and all of its actions. So, and even look at the Wall Street today on the bottom of page three, and you know what the banner headline was? It was about the hush money payment. The bottom of page three highlights the HR1 passed by Congress yesterday to strengthen domestic oil and gas supply. Bottom of page three. This going on is not surprising, but it is very, very sad because it doesn't need to be happening.
HR1 was the House Republicans said their number one thing is to get full spectrum energy dominance again, right, like under President Trump had passed yesterday. And Dave Walsh was right. Not a hiccup here in Washington. I think The Hill had a brief story about it, Politico, but no fanfare whatsoever. Part of that's the Republicans not knowing how to message, but a major piece of legislation, right, not that it's going to pass the Senate, but calls into question all this insanity about climate change, global warming, and particularly the net carbon, net zero carbon. Dave Walsh, how do people get to you? What are your coordinates on social media?
Reach me at Dave Walsh Energy on Getter and on Truth Social. Thank you, Steve.
Dave's putting up great stuff all the time. Dave, thank you very much. Cortez, I think you're back up now. Talk to me about the commercial real estate market, how this is inextricably linked to our overall financial crisis, sir.
Right. Well, one of the reasons that the United States is very vulnerable is because of not just what we're doing overseas, Joe Biden's mistakes and failures abroad, but also what's going on here at home, because he has made us so much economically weaker with his inflation, because his inflation, remember, is the railhead. It is the origination of the banking crisis that we are currently enduring, because our banking system cannot handle Biden's inflation and the resulting higher interest rates. Now, the biggest vulnerability, as I see it, Steve, in the banking system, it's very different from 2008 and 2009. In that era, it was all in residential real estate, and it was far too much leverage in the housing market among regular people. Now, the risks are in the commercial side regarding commercial real estate, and there are many signs and metrics, I'm going to show a few of them, that suggest that we have a brewing, looming crisis in commercial real estate, which may be just as devastating for the banking sector now as the housing crash was in 08 and 09. And by the way, in terms of how this was created and why this is a consequence of Biden and a lot of other very bad leaders, you really had this toxic brew. You had the lockdowns, which convinced a lot of companies and individuals that they could work successfully from home. They no longer needed to go into city centers. At the same time, those city centers became absolutely desolate places full of crime because of the failures of Soros-backed prosecutors, feckless Democratic mayors all over the country. So these became essentially no-go zones for a lot of Americans. And that's just the reality, and it persists into this day. When you take that situation and you throw inflation on top of it so that the financing cost of this commercial real estate, which is increasingly vacant, gets higher and higher, you have all the makings of a terrible crisis. Steve, I was just in my former hometown of Chicago, and believe me, in the Chicago Loop, the downtown, on a work day, there are very few people around still in 2023, very few people around. And by the way, a lot of the people you do see around tend to be sketchy people up to no good. It has become an incredibly different situation than it was pre-lockdown. So let's look at some of the numbers. What is this doing to commercial real estate? If we go to chart number one, this shows us Class A office real estate versus Class B and C. Class A, these are marquee properties. These are the kinds of office towers in urban areas that you might know that have sort of brand name recognition. Until recently, Class A was still trading relatively well, while Class B and C have been consistently in a downward trend for many, many months. But if we can pull up chart one, it'll show you that Class A, even the marquee properties, even those landmark places, are starting to roll over. That is the green line at the top there. This chart goes back 1 year, and it uses 100 essentially as the beginning of 2021 quarter two. So again, Class B and C, the lower line, they've been declining. Those properties have been declining steadily for many, many months. Now we see Class A starting to roll over. If we go to chart number two, this will show us by city. This will show us relative to pre-pandemic, 2019 through 2022, what is happening by city to commercial real estate rents on offices. What have they done? As you can see, there's San Francisco, perhaps the worst of all the cities, you know, regarding the dangers of the city and also the risks of being too concentrated in tech. Rents down 30%. Manhattan down 13%. This is a crisis, Steve, and it's deepening.
Steve, can you hang on? Just do the break for a second. I want to make sure everybody gets all your access to all your thinking. Steve Cortez, we're going to be jam-packed in the half hour we got left, so don't leave. Just strap in. You're in the war room. Be back in a moment. We will fight till they're all gone. We rejoice when there's no
more. Let's take down the CCP. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Okay, welcome back. Brother Cortez, how do people get your Substack and all your other writings, sir?
Yes, please find me on the Twitter. I'm at Cortez Steve, Cortez with an S, and stevecortez.substack.com, posting lots of information. All of these situations are incredibly fluid and active, of course. So in addition to the sham indictment of President Trump, which is horrific, and that is, of course, the main news item, there's a lot of other really important news out there. So please follow me. Keep up on all of it.
Yeah, on the indictment, they're trying to take our eye off the ball of what we have to do to get this country sorted, right? This indictment is
and we have
absurd.
To do it all at once.
Very dangerous.
Yeah,
have to do it all at once. Cortez, thank you so much, brother. Appreciate it.
You bet.
For
thank
carving
you.
The time out. Because of time considerations, I've moved. Boris is going to be with us at 5. Ben Harnwell has got a lot to report. He's going to be with us at 6. And I think we're going to try to get Jeffrey Clark, others. We're going to have an update on East Palestine, also more in the indictment. Gavin Wax joins us now, head of the New York Young Republicans Club, probably the most dynamic Young Republicans Club, and the most dynamic in the country, and certainly the most controversial. Gavin, you've put out a statement today, and you were the guys that led the protests when President Trump, they thought he was going to be arrested or arraigned last Tuesday, a week ago or so. You put out a statement about this current indictment. You had a paragraph in there that was so controversial that the great Jonathan Swan of the New York Times actually tweeted it out and highlighted it. Tell us if we can get it up on the screen. Gavin, walk us through what your statement was and why this paragraph was included, sir.
Absolutely, Steve. I believe that no political figure in this country since Teddy Roosevelt fully encapsulates the American people's id and superego in the way that President Donald J. Trump does. The id, the red meat, the grassroots, the visceral, the emotional, combined with the superego, the Overton window shifting, the avant-garde political movement, and the policy agenda to bring about an American national renewal. Trump perfectly encapsulates both. That's why they hate him, and that's why they fear him. And most political leaders in this country represent the nether region between the two. They are completely and totally divorced from the emotions, from the wishes, and from the views of the American people. But Trump can speak to the everyman. Trump can speak to the forgotten men and women, to the flyover country. And at the same time, he can bring forth a policy agenda to make America great again. And that's what this statement was about. This is why they are coming after him. And the left and the mainstream media are freaking out collectively about our statement because it actually hits the nail on the head and articulates something that many people have failed to do over the last few years.
Gavin, you're a New York City guy, and you're obviously your group represents New York City. Tell us, because a lot of the country doesn't understand this witch's brew of Soros money and these radicals, and that's what they are, that are at every level of New York City and Manhattan government. Tell the nation what President Trump's really up against.
President Trump is up against a corrupt Soros-funded district attorney and the named Alvin Bragg here in Manhattan. He won with 80% something of the vote. He came into office and he immediately began to decline to prosecute a whole range of violent offenses from, you know, assaults to burglary to you name it. And we have seen statistically crime soar across the borough as a whole under his, you know, so far very short tenure. He represents the anarcho-tyranny of the left. He encapsulates that anarcho-tyranny where he refuses to prosecute real criminals that are making life living hell for Manhattanites, for New Yorkers at large. And he's using his office, he's politicizing his office, he's weaponizing his office against the left, against the enemies of the American political left. And he is not alone. I mean, his views and his ideology, his nihilistic worldview is shared by plenty of elected officials, not just in New York City, not just in Manhattan, but the country as a whole. And this is the sort of institutional terror that the America First movement is up against. And we need to call it out, and we need to call it out in strong terms, not in weak terms, like Governor DeSantis originally did, where he, you know, scoffed at the charges and what's actually happening. This is bigger than Trump. This is an attack on the heart and soul of our republic.
The elites, too. It's not just the politicians, but the elites, the New York City elites that back them up believe in this also. This is their agenda, right? They hate the America First movement. They hate MAGA. They hate populism. They hate nationalism. Talk to me about that, because New York City is the railhead. If you read our book, The Indictment, the Frank Gaffney book, much of it centered around New York City. What is it about New York City elites why do they hate America so much, and particularly why do they hate Donald Trump so much?
Well, it's a good point. I think New York City, it gave birth to the Trump movement, to the MAGA movement. I mean, Trump is a man from Queens, after all. He's a man of the outer boroughs, and he initiated his campaign coming down the escalator at Trump Tower. But at the same time, New York City is the focal point of the sneering elitism that has destroyed this country. So it's sort of the focal point of these competing ideologies, these competing futures for the American Republic, the globalist, cosmopolitan elitism that wants to basically gut this country and sell it to the highest bidder, and the Trump movement, the America First movement, the MAGA movement, which seeks an American national renewal, not just politically or electorally, but also spiritually, culturally, and all the rest. So you find it here in New York City that it's the best and the worst of all worlds. And that's what makes our club very important, that we're here on the front lines in the belly of the beast pushing back against it. And you mentioned it in your opening. We were the organization, the first organization in the country that came out on 24-hour notice and vetted 100 plus American patriots to meet downtown in Lower Manhattan Monday at 6 p.m. right after work to protest against this politicized prosecution and persecution of President Donald J. Trump. And we did it here in Manhattan, so other groups can do the same. The MAGA movement can look to New York, our organization, and Trump and where he comes from, and the language and the rhetoric that he uses, which is quintessential New York. They could look to that as a model to replicate across the country.
Gavin, how do people get to you on social media, and how do they get to the site, the club site?
You can follow the club at NYYRC, www.nyyrc.com. We are the oldest and largest young Republican club, frankly, Republican club in the country. You can follow me on Twitter, Getter, Instagram, Truth, all the rest, at Gavin Wax, G-A-V-I-N-W-A-X. Really appreciate you having me on, Steve.
Gavin, we have time. I want to get you back and talk about Tuesday and your thoughts on Tuesday. Gavin Wax, the head of the New York Young Republicans Club, the most controversial and active Republican club in the country. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Let's go. Do we have the spot? I want to play the DeSantis spot. I'll bring Steve Stern in, but I want to play this spot that's just come out on Governor DeSantis. Let's go ahead and play it.
Think you know Ron DeSantis? Think again. In Congress, DeSantis voted three separate times to cut Social Security. That's right, three times over 3 years. Worse, DeSantis voted to cut Medicare two times. DeSantis even voted to raise the retirement age to 70. The more you learn about DeSantis, the more you see he doesn't share our values. He's just not ready to be president. Make America Great Again, Inc. is responsible for the content of this advertising.
The polling is showing Trump actually spreading the field now, and that is even before the impact of the indictment. I'm going to get more into this in this afternoon show and later about some of the policy, major policy differences between the governor, who I think has done a really good job in Florida, but at the national level. A lot's coming out now about his voting record and where he stood when he was in Congress. Remember, he was really a libertarian. This situation with Social Security, Medicare, all that's going to get to be a very, very big issue because of President Trump's focus on this. Let me bring in now Steve Stern. Steve, I want to tell you and Dan Schultz, we spent a couple of days in East Palestine, and the number of people that came up and said, hey, we got motivated by seeing Schultz and Stern on the show and you talking about the precinct strategy. They're now precinct men. They're running for or men and women. They're running to be chairman of the precincts. It's just really incredible the impact it's had. I know you've come out overnight because of this indictment. Walk me through where the working class, middle class people that make this country go in the Trump movement, where do they stand on this indictment, sir?
So first of all, this is a national call to action today. Everybody is texting me, calling me, emailing me. This is the time to get out and do something. And what happened last night, I was on a program and I got an email and a text from Brett Powell, one of Trump's people, and they want me to get the message out what he wants to say. Well, that's a great honor because when President Trump wants to get a message out, we got to do it. So I stayed up and sent 10,000 emails out. And I'm glad to let everybody know what he said. The message will come out later. We'll talk about it. But they are all coming to action. So how do we get more people to action? And I'm going to tell you how to do that very quick. You go to www.precinctstrategy.com. You'll look at Dan Schultz, what he's done. You get his book and you get involved. We need to get the people involved. Now, a lot is happening. One of our guys in Texas, who we also want you to get to read his book, it's The Five-Star Plan, Replacing Politicians with Patriots. The Five-Star Plan, very important. Robert West has done a terrific job. He's got 1,000 people involved. So what's happened over the last 3 months? You've been talking about this for a year. People have to get involved. So in South Carolina, every day I get an email from our people in South Carolina getting more people involved. It comes from team at mysouthcarolina.gop. In West Virginia, we had nobody. You know, I kept asking everybody to come around. We had a girl, Teresa Howell. She got involved. We now have 50 or 100 people from West Virginia. We got to get that terrible senator out of there. In Arkansas, Sue Flannery got 100 people from me together. In Michigan, Joe Walsh got 3,450 people involved. In Rhode Island, who's a blue state, we got Alan Myers, who became chair of chairs. Joe Powers, a great MAGA guy, became chairman. South Dakota, you had Jessica Palermo on. She got me 100 people. So the people are coming up. But today we want to get the people involved. So go to www.precinctstrategy.com. We have 2 Zooms coming up on Monday. Get involved. Come to me. Get your flag shirt. Call me at 954-318-6902 to get involved. Or get on the Zoom. Go to sstern1054@AOL. Go to the flag shirt. Today I was eating breakfast wearing my new flag shirt. Guy came up to me, says, how do I get involved? I think you're a Republican. You're wearing a patriot. You have your little button on. I gave him my card. He came. He called me already. He wants to get involved. We told him to go to the Broward Republican Executive Committee. Then Michelle Swinnick and I started a site. We have 10,000 people on www.savemyfreedom.us. This is getting people together so we can get everybody involved. So I know you're have a little time, so I'm going to end
Steve, real quickly. The importance of the Zoom, the importance of the Zoom calls. Give me 30 seconds on why it's important to join these Zoom calls to see the camaraderie and to see actually people all over the nation are doing it. Walk me through the Zoom calls.
So we have two on Monday, one at 3:30 Eastern time for election prevention fraud. We have Jovan Pulitzer going to do a 30-minute training session. Then we're going to have people on how we can get our election prevention fraud done. He needs solutions. Just like everybody's talking about everything that's going on here, it's bad, bad, bad. We're going to show you how it's going to get good. On the evening, we have the precinct strategy one. This tells everybody what's happening in every state and how we can get training. We send training manuals out. We help you. We get people involved. It's action, action, action. I'm glad to have you on. Just come to me. Call me. I prefer emails today because we're getting tons of calls because President Trump needs the support of the American people now. We have 60 million people. We have 400,000 slots, 200,000 people involved. We need 1 million people involved. We need 100,000 more people to watch your show. Action, action, action.
To Steve, one more time. What's the email address to get to you? That would probably be the easiest. What's the email address to get to you?
Call me at 954-318-69. Thank you for having me on.
Let's get that out of the chyron. Steve Stern, a true patriot. The entrepreneur in back of the flag shirt store. Thank you very much. Honored to have you on here. Short commercial break. Mike Lindell will join us in a moment. We will fight till they're all gone. We rejoice when there's no
more. Let's take down the CCP. Has arrived. The new social media taking on big tech, protecting free speech, and canceling cancel culture. Join the marketplace of ideas. The platform for independent thought has arrived. Superior technology. No more selling your personal data. No more censorship. No more cancel culture. Enough. Getter has arrived. It's time to say what you want, the way you want. Download now.
Okay, welcome back. By the way, Jeff Clark now is going to join us in the 6 o'clock hour with Ben Harnwell. We got news breaking on East Palestine about the Justice Department lawsuit, and he's also going to update us on different aspects of the indictment. So Jeff Clark will join us. By the way, I'll also talk about more in the afternoon because I just haven't had time. Something serious is going on in East Palestine, I will tell you. The reason I missed the show yesterday, and it's only the second time I've missed the show in 3.5 years as on live because of illness, and the first time is when I caught COVID the first time, and I still only missed, I think, a show on that. I was sick as I've ever been in my entire life when I got back from East Palestine. Sick as I've ever been in my entire life. Now, I don't know what happened, but, you know, that just can't be a coincidence. That's how sick I was. And there's something seriously wrong out there, seriously wrong. We have to have those peoples back, not just the town of East Palestine, but even the surrounding area and into Pennsylvania. There's something deeply wrong out there, and hopefully today the Justice Department suit is a small beginning step, the IG, all that, but we've now got to get out there and have people's back to get official action. I'll be talking more about that 5 to 7. Mike Lindell, I can tell you, you're a hero to those folks out there, as you're a hero to many people throughout the country, one, for what you're doing to fight every day to make sure we get the elections right, but not just that, I think on a broader scale, just to have your company up in Minnesota to fight for American manufacturing, for hiring people here. You're a beloved character. So I just want to get that message from the folks in East Palestine to you. But I got to ask you about this indictment that was announced overnight that'll be, I guess, served on President Trump when he's arraigned on Tuesday. What are your initial thoughts, given your closeness to the president?
Well, it is political persecution. They weaponized the justice system. It's an attack on his campaign. It's an attack on all American people. It's an attack on all of us. And I believe that it once again, evil is greedy. It's going to backfire on him. He's going to go up in the polls. But the thing is, Steve, it's very I just can't stand when all these outlets, like your Fox News's, I mean, we had everything preempted yesterday and everything else. And to talk about, I realize it's big news, but like you say, what about Ohio? What about all the great things that are happening and getting rid of these election machines and going to paper ballots? It's like they pick and choose what they want to make the news. If anyone doesn't think this is all about politics and about his campaign, they're wrong. That's the only reason they've done this. It's an anomaly in history, and this they've already went through this 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, whatever it was. There's nothing there. Donald Trump has the cleanest record of anybody in history with all the attack for 6 years now. It's disgusting. And it's just, this is where we're at. Our journalism in this country and the media is just horrific. And you just said it yourself. You come back from the place, they're forgotten up there in Palestine and in Ohio and all the good things going on in our country. It gets forgotten too. They don't report things anymore. Mike,
hang on a second for the people out there. I just got to put this up, and I realize we're crammed for time. But this just came out from the White House, tweeted out from the White House on White House Stationery. Transgender people deserve love, dignity, and respect. On Transgender Day of Visibility, we want you to know that we see you just as you are, made in the image of God and deserving of dignity, respect, and support. We'll never stop working to create a world where you won't have to be brave just to be yourself, and that is signed President Joe Biden. We'll have more to discuss on this later this afternoon. That's breaking news from the White House. That's where Joe Biden's focus is. Right. Mike Lindell, your thoughts and observations.
Well, those people need help. That's the observation. All that transgender, all that stuff is a reach out for help. They need help, not the kind of help that Biden's putting out there, putting this out in the news. This is all deflection. Where's our real news? This is a complete takeover of our country, and all that stuff you're hearing there is part of it. They sit in a room, I swear, and go, okay, let's do this over here so the public gets upset over here. So everybody points now getting upset at Biden doing this for the transgenders, and you focus here, you forget about people over here, or forget about what's really going to hurt our country. And it's very sad, the place we've gotten to. But I've said it all before, everybody. All this is going down, and it's helping people. It's helping people to Jesus. It's the greatest revival in history. And it's also going to help us get to our place. Things might even get worse before they get better. It seems to keep happening. But you got to know that there's hope out there, that there's great things going on, not just all these negative things. And, Steve, I'm always optimistic, and I could sit here and feel hours of optimism, but it's frustrating for me when I hear all these distractions and all these negative things out there, and it's just disgusting.
Mike, tell us about MyPillow 2.0. How's the launch on this great new revolutionary product?
Well, it's absolutely going great, and we've just had. I just was talking to my factory down there, and we're actually getting caught up with production. Finally, we hired 100 more people the last week and a half. This is the most amazing sleep tool in history, and we improved on it with the MyPillow exclusive fabric that's got the cooling fabric in it. Now you don't flip it to the other side; it's got the MyPillow patented foam in there, the patented fill, so you get the best sleep ever. We're doing that buy one, get one free. It's still available there. They're using promo code WARROOM. And we're actually making room in our manufacturing, but that's why we're still closing out those all-season slippers for $25 a pair, everybody. $25 a pair. The audience has been great out there. You guys have helped us all to get prepared to expand our manufacturing now. My employees love it, Steve, when they're making something that is helping every single person. Every single MyPillow 2.0 that goes off the line, they know it's going to help them just like it helps my employees. All of them have all my products. They use them. So we get, that's why we always have so much energy and feeling so good, and they love their jobs. We have careers at MyPillow. As much as we get attacked, we feel very blessed that we're protected. I believe we're divinely protected, that we're like a big family. It's the way manufacturing should be in this country.
Mike Lindell, MyPillow.com, promo code WARROOM. Go to our square. You get to see all the buy one, get ones free for the MyPillow 2.0, plus everything else, the $25 for the slippers. Mike, you're beloved out in East Palestine, I can tell you. Thank you so much for taking time away today to join us here at the War Room.
Thanks, you. Get well, Steve. Get well. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Okay, be back 5 to 7 tonight.